Where are you at, Jeff?
I'm at home, actually, in Seattle.
Okay.
One of my 20 days at home.
I know, right? You've been on the road a lot.
I've been on the road all my life.
Well, yeah, but I mean, every time I was looking at your schedule and coming up in 2024, you've got a ton of dates already.
Yeah. I keep busy, you know.
And you just wrapped up some dates doing was that the Empire and Rage stuff were you doing?
No, we started doing a different show, which we call the Big Rock Show. And yes. It's a set list of almost every song I've ever released as a single or a video.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. It's pretty, pretty comprehensive that? List. Yeah.
Yeah. How many songs are in there?
Oh, well, we keep changing it, kind of rotating other ones in. But I think typically it's like 20, 21 songs, something like that.
And that's the Big Rock Show hits. And you're still doing some of those shows, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. We'll be doing it all this year. Yeah.
Okay. And you're getting ready.
It takes months and months and months to get to everywhere we go. You know, we go to 35 countries regularly. And it's not like you can do like a 20 show tour and be done. You know, you're just kind of getting started after 20 shows.
That's got to be a blast, though, traveling all over.
It is. In fact, I feel odd when I'm not traveling. You know, I feel like time is just like going by and I'm not doing anything.
You don't know what to do with yourself. Yeah. You also do your traveling, still do your booking thing, right? With where you travel like to Italy and stuff?
Yeah. A couple of years ago, my wife and I started a kind of a side business called Backstage Pass Travel, where we take groups of people kind of like sightseeing in some of our favorite places in the world. And it's kind of expanded. We go to Tuscany, Ireland, two parts of Ireland, the north and the south, because they're very different. We go to Germany. Crete is a new one that's we're going to be doing this year coming up. We do Montana. We do New Orleans. We do France. Probably leaving something out. But yeah, we get around.
Yeah. Yeah. And what's the website for that?
I think it's called backstagepasstravel.com.
Okay. Okay. So people can go there and they can get more information if they're interested.
Sure. Yeah. And there's probably a link on jefftate.com too, that they push a button and takes them there.
Sure. I'll make sure to put a link in the notes on this episode as well. But you have your tour with Adrian Vandenberg coming up.
Yeah.
Kicks off on the 26th, I believe, of February in Clearwater. Not much of a better place to kick off a tour.
Yeah, one of my favorite places to play. Have you ever met Adrian?
I've never met Adrian, no.
No.
He seems like a blast.
I hear he's a giant.
I've seen Whitesnake in concert with him playing a long time ago, and he looked pretty big.
Yeah. Is he tall? Very tall.
It looked like it from where I was, but
you know. I haven't Googled him, but I people have told me he's like 6'10".
Oh, geez, how tall are you?
5'9".
Okay, so you're about my height. I'm 5'10". So, you got to get a picture next to him.
Yeah, right.
So you've never met Adrian?
I haven't. No.
Okay. Did you guys get to talk on the phone, or I mean, when the tour gets set up, I'm assuming it got set up through agents and managers and stuff.
Yeah.
Do you guys communicate beforehand, or are you just going to meet up on the road?
No, we haven't communicated yet, but I'm sure we will the first day of the show and meet each other and meet everybody in his band, and it'll be interesting. Mm-hmm.
Is that how it usually goes with tours? They just match you up with somebody, or do you ever pick who you want to go out with?
Well, I don't think there's a usual way of doing it. I've done it both ways, through management, through agents. I've met it through met people through being on like Shiprocked or Monsters of Rock tours, met people at shows, you know, who have come to my show and introduced themselves, and I like their music, and you know, there's no usual way of doing it, really.
Now, is this a co-headline tour? Are you both doing the same amount of time, or you going after?
I think it is a co-headline tour. Yeah.
And about how long is your set?
My set?
Yeah.
75 minutes. Yeah.
Okay. I'm going to attend the Myrtle Beach show. So that's March 2nd, I think. The House of
Blues. Is that near where you live?
Well, I'm in Myrtle Beach. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Yeah. Have you ever played that venue?
One of my daughters has really sprung on moving to Wilmington,
North Carolina.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. That's
never been there.
Yeah. Yeah. It's nice.
Is it nice?
Yeah. I liked it. I, you know, I just spent like a day there. I didn't spend too much time there, but it was nice.
Oh, okay.
Have you ever played the House of Blues in Myrtle Beach?
Yeah. Yeah. Many times. Yeah.
I've had a few different artists tell me that's one of the nicer venues on the East Coast to play.
Generally, the House of Blues are fine venues, you know, for performing. Mm-hmm. You know, there's a lot of things that make up a venue. You know, first, you know, you have your performance area for the artists, you know, like the stage. And that can be a rickety set of, you know, 2x4s holding up plywood, you know, and it is many, many times. It's horrible. And other times it's a pro stage, you know, with lighting pits and movable parts and this kind of thing, nice and solid, you know. So it really runs the gamut. And House of Blues are fine establishments for attending a show. You know, you can see really well. The sound is usually, you know, top notch. Lighting rig is nice. I don't know about the other thing, like the price of drinks or food. I don't pay attention to that stuff. I think it's a lot nicer place to play than some venues, which are just like cesspool, you know, urine everywhere. Who wants to stand in that and watch their favorite band, you know?
So on your set, you have so many hits. I mean, it's got to be hard to choose what you're going to play. I mean, what can we expect to hear at your show? Are we going to hear a lot of the older stuff?
You're going to hear just about every song I ever released as a video or a single.
So this is similar to the Big Rock Show tour.
Is the Big Rock
Show. Oh, it is the big with. Yeah. Okay. I did not know that. I thought it was two separate things. Okay. So that's awesome. So I was not aware that it was the same thing. And we're going to hear all those hits.
Yeah, it is.
Now, do you throw in any, besides just the hits that you released, are you going to do any oddballs in there? Like maybe some things off of Rage for Order?
We're going to play the single from Rage for Order, yeah.
That was my favorite album of Queensrÿche.
Oh, yeah?
Rage for Order, yeah. I think I really liked, what was that song? Chemical Youth, I think it was called.
Chemical Youth, yeah, that's right.
Yeah. When's the last time you played that song?
Well, gosh, I guess it's been a year and a half, 2 years. We played the Empire 35-year celebration of that album, and we played Rage for Order as the warm-up set for it. And so, yeah, I played Rage for Order a lot, which was really fun. I got to finally do it, which I hadn't done properly before, you know. It's funny, you know, you write these albums and you work so hard on them and you pour everything you have into them. And then when it's done, sometimes you never play any of the songs, you know, live. Right. And sometimes you only play one or two, you know.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Crazy.
So with an artist like yourself who's got such a big history in music, do you find like now making a new album, do you ever think like, why am I making a full album nowadays?
Well, I haven't made one. And so I guess since...
Well, you did the Sweet Oblivion stuff not too long ago, right?
Yeah, but that's not really making an album. That's, you know, working on other people's stuff. Sure. My last real album that I did was, I think, 2017, The New Reality. And that was the last full-length album I did. And I haven't made an album in a while. You know, I'm kind of feeling the need to make one, but then again, it's so much work.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So much work.
Do you have a studio at home or no?
Yeah, I do. Yeah.
Okay. That makes it a little easier.
I have a studio I take on the road as well. And I use that quite often, you know, hotel rooms and whenever I'm sitting around, I like to, mess around in my studio, you know,
sure,
for the day or the afternoon. It makes for a nice day off, you know.
Sure, sure. Do you find that touring is easier or harder nowadays?
Easier or harder?
Yeah.
It's way easier.
Easier.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you're doing the bus thing on this tour, right? You're not doing flying.
We do buses. We do airplanes. We do trains. We do vans, just depending on what we're, where we're at, what we're doing.
Is there a preferred way of travel you like for shows?
Well, I really like my buses. Yeah. I have two tour buses, and one of them is older, and I've customized it quite a bit, and it's really comfortable to tour in. I also like trains. Like when I'm in Europe, it's really nice to take the train, sleep in a hotel, get up in the morning, walk over to the train station, hop a train, be at the next venue in a couple hours. You know, it's a very nice way to travel.
Yeah. I talked to a lot of people and they do a lot of these flying dates nowadays. And I heard those are pretty rough doing the flyings.
Well, anytime you have to get on an airplane, not so fun.
Yeah. All hours of the morning, you're going on a plane and just.
Yeah. Well, typically, you know, a musician's life, you don't usually get to bed till like 3 o'clock in the morning. And then to get on the plane, you got to get up at 6. So you're getting 3 hours of sleep. So you're already feeling bad, you know. Then you got to wait around the airport for 3 to 4 hours, deal with, I think the airlines is like one of the few companies that hasn't recovered since COVID. There's so many delays and so many lost bags and things now that it's really become incredibly unreliable compared to what it used to be. And so, you never know when you're going to get on that plane, if you're going to actually make it to where you're going, you know, it's a big question mark.
Tell me about, talk a little bit about, you recently had surgery a couple years back, right? Your heart surgery.
22. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Has that had an effect on you, now as far as touring goes? Or do you feel better? Maybe.
I feel incredible. Yeah. See, I didn't know I had a heart issue, and I didn't know I had anything, to be concerned about. And, my doctor discovered it. And said, "Oh, you better get this done now before it becomes a problem in a couple months." So that, you know, put the fear of God into me, you know. And so sure. I had it taken care of. And I just thought I felt normal for a guy my age, you know. But now I realize that I was really operating at kind of a deficit. You know, my energy level was lower. You know, I had to take a break walking upstairs and stuff like that, you know. So, and now I'm just kind of like, I'm running up the stairs backwards.
Yeah.
It's a whole different kind of thing, you know.
Yeah, yeah. Do you have a new outlook on things since then?
I think my outlook is really try to enjoy my life, you know, as much as I possibly can. And surround myself with positive, good people, and that I enjoy being around, and enjoy being around me. You know, that's mm-hmm. kind of my life philosophy, and seems to be working so far. I'm pretty darn happy.
Yeah, yeah. That's scary. That's scary when, especially like you said, you didn't know you had something wrong, and then all of a sudden they'd say,
"Yeah, I just thought it was normal for a guy my age to be not quite so athletic as I had been, you know." And I didn't realize, because it was so slowly coming on me, you know, I didn't realize that I had slowed down that much, you know. But now it's night and day. Yeah, I just have so much more energy, and, you know, I feel great, you know.
And with the touring, I mean, what motivates you to keep touring? Just the love of it, the music?
Well, you know, I've been doing it for 40 years, and I don't know what else I would do with myself. You know, I love traveling. I love performing and playing my music for people. And I love meeting people and going to all these different places I go to. In a way, it kind of... it kind of, I don't know if that the right phrase is, but it, my life is so full that if I stopped, I think I would die of boredom.
Mm. Yeah.
Because everyday life is like crushingly tedious, you know? Mm-hmm.
Did you have any thoughts of retiring, I guess, when you had your health issues, or was that not even a thought?
No, it really wasn't a thought. It was lucky that we caught it when we did. And funny enough, the way it happened was kind of funny. COVID had been a part of our lives, of course. And as we all probably did, we all gained a bit of weight during COVID, you know, being inactive and all. And my wife looked at me one day. She goes, you know, you're getting ready to go on the road in a couple months, and I bet you can't fit into your rock and roll pants. And sure enough, I couldn't fit into my rock and roll pants. And she said, so I'm going to put you on a diet, and we're going to get back to working out every day. And so she was making me oatmeal in the morning, you know, for fiber and all that. And for an extra shot of protein, she sprinkled these chia seeds on it. And come to find out, I'm allergic to chia seeds. I didn't know it. No. She didn't know it. Sent me into the hospital. And that's where they found out that I had this heart issue.
Thank goodness for the chia seeds.
Yeah. Thankfully, it happened when it did. And so we just rescheduled everything. And I had the procedure done in Germany at a top-notch hospital there. And it was fantastic. Just great team of people.
Well, you got to thank her for those chia seeds.
Yeah, I do.
So your voice, to be able to do what you do still, is a special thing. Not many people do what you do that are still going.
Yeah. It's, again, I've just been doing it for so long that it's what I do, you know?
But you still do.
I don't know how to explain it.
Yeah. Still do it. There's your voice is one. I was just talking to somebody the other day about, you familiar with Midnight from Crimson Glory?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
He was another one who just had that voice with so much emotion, and just, it was almost flawless, you know? And that's just, that's a special thing to have.
Didn't he pass away?
He did a while ago. Yeah. But not many, like I said, not many people are still doing it at the level that you're doing it. So that's awesome.
Yeah, that's what people tell me. I'm getting ready to go on in a couple of weeks. I'm going on this cruise ship called the Legends Cruise.
Mm-hmm.
And Sammy Hagar is on it. And I'm really looking forward to seeing him play. Because I think I opened up for Chickenfoot, which was one of his kind of bands, for a couple shows at some point, but for some reason I couldn't stick around for his show. So I've never seen him perform. I'm looking forward to it.
Okay. Have you ever met him?
Yeah, a couple of times. So I met him on the tour when we were supporting him.
Who else is on the tour? I think Brett Michaels is on that boat.
Yeah. Michaels, Billy Gibbons, Rick Springfield of all people.
Oh yeah. Yeah. I did see that. And that's before your tour kicks off that week before.
I think. Yeah.
Well, that's a great pre-tour.
Yeah. Well, Thursday, I'm going to France for the Backstage Pass Travel France week. And then we go from there to Miami, catch the boat for the Legends Tour. We get off the boat and we pop down to Clearwater up to Clearwater for the beginning of the tour.
How about your band? Who's out with you on the road?
I have Jack Ross on bass, James Brown on guitar, Dario Parente on guitar, Omri Altmaier on guitar, Danny LaVerde on drums.
Now, these guys have been with you for a little bit, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Most of them have been with me. I think Jack is the longest, and he's been around since 2016.
Let's go back a little bit, because I wanted to ask you some stuff about Hearing Aid, that project.
Yeah.
Because I love that song, and I was just curious how you got involved in that.
Well, Ronnie Dio was very instrumental in Queensryche's career. He gave us our first European tour, and we opened up for him on the West Coast of America. And when he was getting ready to do the Hearing Aid Project, he called me up and said, I'm doing this. Would you be interested in doing it? And I, of course, I said yes. So that's how it came about. It was a simple phone call, really. And it was, I really wasn't expecting it to be what it was. When I went down there, I remember I met him at the studio door, and he brought me into the studio. He goes, oh, are you all ready to go? And I go, yeah, I can do it. I just need the lyric sheet and a glass of water. He said, sure, I'll get that for you. Come on in here. And he set me up in front of the microphone, you know, and he adjusted the height of it all and got it all going. And the whole time he's just talking about the song, you know, and he goes, get a chance to listen to the song. Yeah. This is pretty easy. I think you probably know what to do. Just don't look out the window. And of course I looked out the window.
Of course.
And when I did, I saw that the whole studio was filled with all these amazing musicians, you know, and they were all like just staring at me, you know.
And you were pretty new at that time, right?
Oh, I was very new. Yeah. I think we had done our EP and the Warning album, and I think we were the middle of recording a Rage for Order album at the time. I went down to do the Hearing Aid song. Yeah.
So you did your lines with everyone watching you.
Yeah. Everybody watched everybody all day long. It was strange and kind of fun in a way. When I look back on it, there's a lot of camaraderie, you know, but it's just unnerving when you're looking through the window and, you know, Rob Halford is sitting there looking at you, you know, and I don't even know how I got through it. I was so nervous. I kept my sunglasses on the whole time. I just couldn't, you know, I just could not look at anybody. I just zone in and, you know, do my performance and not think about it, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. So, in the video, is that when you went in, was that that one day when you guys did the video?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. That turned out to be such a great song. With like a, what was that lead? Like 7 minutes or something?
The multi-lead. Yeah.
Jeez. What a great song though. How about your wine? You still have your wine going?
I do. The wine is pouring. Yep. Yep. It's still, we make it in Germany and, Southwest Germany and the Alsace region. And, we make a white and a red. It's called Insania. And you can get it on my website. Push the button, takes you there, and you can order it if you'd like. It's a pretty fun endeavor, I have to say. I truly, truly love it. I love the farming aspect of actually being in the vineyards and cutting the grapes and cutting the vines and growing them. And if I ever retire, I think that's what I would do full time, is just be in the vineyard. You know, I love it.
Do you go do that when you get a chance?
Yeah, I do it a couple times a year. I go there.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. Can you grow grapes up in Seattle or no? Do they not grow there?
You can grow white grapes. Yeah. And in the Seattle area. But then if you want to grow red, you have to go east of the mountains and south. But we have quite a wine industry in Washington State. I think it's the second largest in America, behind Napa, California.
How about, you know, we talked about records a little bit earlier, new music. Do you have any new, wasn't there going to be like a Sweet Oblivion third record coming out? Did I hear that correct?
Yeah. I'm working on that right now, actually. Yeah. I'm not sure when it's going to get finished, but it's sometime by the end of the year, I think.
The same guys?
Yeah, same guys, yeah.
Okay. All right, that's something to look forward to. Those were two great records.
Yeah, they're different and interesting, yeah.
Mm-hmm. How about solo records? Going to do any solo stuff?
I got a whole bunch of stuff written and sitting there waiting. I just can't decide what to do with it.
How many songs do you have that are just sitting around? Like a handful, or do you have like tons?
Oh, no, I've got, you know, I don't really know the exact number, but I know it's over 40.
All right, Jeff. Well, I appreciate you catching up with me. I just wanted to catch up with you about this tour coming up. Good luck to you on the tour, and I will be at the Myrtle Beach show.
Great.
So looking forward to seeing it.
All right. Well, thanks for having me on your show. I enjoyed it.